This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar. Tuned.
In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Today, we continue our discussion of the implications of the recent genocide conviction of former Guatemalan strongman and close U.S. ally General Efrain Rios Montt. You may recall that a Guatemalan judge, Yasmin Barrios, announced to a packed courtroom in Guatemala and to the world, really, the historic verdict finding the former Guatemalan dictator guilty of genocide and crimes against humanity. Then he was sentenced by the judge to 80 years in prison and taken immediately into custody. Now, a Guatemalan court has ordered a criminal investigation of all others involved in the Rios Montt crimes. And, of course, this could lead us all the way up to the current president. That would be Otto Perez Molina. Joining us to talk about this is Alan Narron. He covered this trial in Guatemala. He has been reporting on these kinds of atrocities since the 1980s. Well, Alan, it's good to have you back. I think it's important if you would remind people what happened last week and the significance of the court decision.
Well, what happened is that somebody finally enforced the murder laws impartially. In this case, the murders were massacres committed in the Northwest Highlands of Guatemala against the Maya Ixchel people. The perpetrator was a general, a military dictator who was backed by the United States, General Rios Montt. So usually, in every country in the world, a perpetrator, a killer, with that kind of position and that kind of backing gets away with it. But in this case, it didn't happen. In this case, General Rios Montt was, as you said, convicted and sentenced to 80 years in prison. As we speak, he's in prison, although he's claiming that he's ill, so he's now in the military hospital, but he's still locked up. It's a breakthrough in many ways. It's the first time that any country has been able to prosecute a former president for genocide using its own domestic criminal courts. And more importantly, it's a prosecution from below. It's not a case of victor's justice for where, you know, the one who wins the war prosecutes the one who lost the war. This is a case of the survivors whose movement was crushed is able to persist and use whatever levers of power exist within the system to bring to justice one of the killers, a killer who represents a social order that is still in power. Because the same individuals and the same kinds of individuals who ran Guatemala in 1982-83 still run it today. It's still the army and the oligarchs of CACIF, the chambers of commerce, agriculture, industry, and finance. But due to the brave fight of the survivors of these massacres, enough political space has been opened up in Guatemala that a few honest people have been able to rise to positions of importance within the prosecutorial system and within the judiciary. And this trial was able to move forward. And it's also a breakthrough on the front of fighting racism and the rights of indigenous people. Because Rios Montt, when he seized power in a military coup, the first thing, he took two steps immediately. The army was already killing civilians. They'd been doing that for many years. But Rios Montt changed the strategy. He immediately cut back on the urban assassinations, the assassinations of national leaders in the capital city, which had become politically counterproductive. And instead, he made systematic the massacres that were taking place in the countryside. And he sent the army systematically sweeping through the villages of the Northwest Highlands, where the Mayan population, at that time the Mayan majority, was concentrated. and he and his army branded them as inherently subversive. And that's why the prosecution was able to make a charge of genocide and make it stick. Now, of course, all of this was also backed by the U.S. Because the U.S. Has not yet reached the level of political civilization that Guatemala, especially the Mayan population who pushed this trial, have reached, we don't yet have prosecutions of the Americans involved in this crime and U.S. government officials who've been involved in other similar killings of civilians around the world and are still involved today. But it should be done. The U.S. prosecutors should immediately convene a grand jury regarding the Guatemala genocide. They should fulfill their responsibility to assist the Guatemalan prosecutors by divulging to them all internal U.S. documents regarding those massacres, everything from everything within the CIA, the State Department, the Pentagon, the White House. And they should also move to indict all U.S. officials from those agencies, those who are still alive, who played the role of accessory or accomplice or worse to these crimes, and they should be willing to extradite to Guatemala any U.S. officials who are sought by the Guatemalan authorities as they continue their investigation.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. We're speaking with Alan Nairn about the recent genocide conviction of former Guatemalan, U.S.-supported Guatemalan dictator, General Efrén Ríos Montt. He's in his 80s. He was he's supposed to serve 80 years. He's obviously, if he stays in prison, he's going to die in prison. And we're talking about the implications of where this could lead. And before we say a little bit more about that, Alan, you mentioned that this was indeed a slaughterous attack focused on the indigenous people in the highlands. And I guess amongst the most poignant testimony came from Rigoberta Menchú, Nobel laureate. Could you talk about why that testimony was important, say something, remind people who she is?
Rigoberta was an activist who was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, and she in the Guatemalan criminal justice system works differently than the U.S. system. In the U.S., although an individual citizen can bring a civil suit against somebody else, you can't bring a criminal action. You can't try to put someone in jail acting as an individual. Only the state can do that. But in Guatemala, an individual, a citizen, is allowed to bring a criminal action against another if they can convince the state prosecutors and the courts that it should move forward. And Rigoberta Menchú, quite a few years ago, initiated legal cases against a range of Guatemalan generals and colonels for their role in the slaughter, and one of them was Ríos Montt. Her cases were blocked in Guatemala. One of them eventually was taken up in Spain by the Audiencia Nacional, a national high court in Spain, because under international law, when you're talking about these kinds of international crimes, crimes against humanity, genocide, they can be prosecuted by courts in other countries because they're considered so grave, they're considered such a grave threat to humanity itself. The Spanish court took the cases she brought very seriously. It's still active on the case to this day. They've tried to extradite various Guatemalan generals to Spain. They haven't succeeded. But the work done on that case helped to lay the groundwork for the case that was brought against Ríos Montt and it just resulted in the sentence in Guatemala. The particular case against Ríos Montt was based on a very narrow set of facts. Massacres that took place in one particular period in the Ixchel region of the Northwest Highlands, which is different from the region that Rigoberta and her family come from. And the case was prosecuted on the basis of just 1,771 murders, because though it so happened that the prosecution was able to get the names of those 1,771 victims killed by the Guatemalan army. And in many cases, their bones were exhumed, and forensic scientists were able to link the bones to the names of the murdered people. You know, the case has gone forward to this point. We should note, though, that it's not over yet. It's far from over, because the oligarchy, especially, I mean, the military and the retired military, but especially in the lead now, you have the oligarchy who are trying to get this case annulled. And in fact, the Constitutional Court, which is the highest court in Guatemala, was supposed to give a ruling today that could have resulted in annulment of the case and immediate freeing of Rios Montt from prison. They postponed their ruling until Monday. We'll see what they will do. The Constitutional Court is not really taken seriously as a legal body. It's a complete political tool of the army and the oligarchy. And there's a big political struggle now going on within the Guatemalan establishment as to whether they will take the political risk of trying to roll back this verdict, because it was a huge step. It was a huge event. If they try to annul it, try to roll it back, there will be a big backlash from the Guatemalan public, also internationally. But the leaders of CACIF, the oligarchy, are very jealous of their privileges. One of their privileges is their right to consider themselves superior and to continue to treat indigenous people as less than full citizens, as less than human. In many of the indigenous communities where the 80s massacres took place, people still live on just a few dollars a day. Rates of malnutrition and infant mortality are extremely high. People still cannot earn enough from the micro plots of corn that they work and have to migrate down to the coast to work on plantations during harvest season to try to feed their families. And most importantly, the oligarchy still wants to retain the prerogative of murdering people when they feel it's necessary. Even though in Guatemala today, the army does not commit the massive rural massacres that they used to. You do not have the assassinations of national-level activists as there used to be. But there continue to be assassinations outside the capital city of local activists. In particular, in recent months, of people who've been fighting against mining projects involving Canadian and U.S. companies that were brought in by the current president, General Pérez Molina, and that local communities are fiercely resisting because they fear the pollution and other damage that they could bring. The rich want the right to kill people who protest against them, and they fear, and I think they have a rational basis for this fear, they fear that if the precedent of the Rios Montt trial is allowed to stand, that could cramp their style, that it could be more difficult for them in the future to kill off workers who try to organize on their plantations or in their factories or at their mines. So a lot is at stake here, and it's not yet certain that this verdict will be allowed to stand.
All right, now let me jump in there just to put what you just said into context. We were talking about Rigoberta Menchú, and the story of her family isn't far from the horrors. I mean, it's an extreme example, but it's not far from the horrors that we're talking about when we're talking about this U.S.-supported slaughter machine.
Yes, her her family was a number of them were burned alive, or their bodies were never found. This has been life for people in the rural areas, and particularly the indigenous people of Guatemala. And the slaughter went on for years and years and years. It all traces back to 1954, when a democratically elected government in Guatemala was overthrown in a CIA-backed coup, and the military ruled uninterrupted through the 1990s, assassinating and massacring whenever they felt like it. And today, even though Guatemala now has an electoral system, there's again a military man in charge, General Otto Perez Molina. And he was the local commander in the field in the Ischia region, the region of the massacres that got Rios Montt convicted. And I met him at the time in the middle of the massacres. I met him in the town of Nebach, where he was commander, and where his soldiers, his lieutenants, sergeants, corporals, described how they would go into towns armed with death lists provided to them by G2 military intelligence, death lists of people who were suspected of being collaborators of the guerrillas or critics of the army, and how they would strangle people with lassos, slit women open with machetes, shoot people in the head in front of their neighbors, and then use U.S. planes and helicopters and 50-kilogram bombs to attack people if they fled into the hills.
This is the current president.
Yes, the current president. These were his men describing how they did this under orders. And he is now in charge of Guatemala. And he is very worried about this. During the trial, he allowed the trial to go forward. In the Guatemalan justice system, the attorney general is politically much more autonomous than the U.S. attorney general is. So it's difficult for the president to control what the attorney general does. And it so happens that the current attorney general of Guatemala is a very honest a person with a sense of legal duty. But Perez Molina still has a great deal of clout. And he allowed the trial to go forward on the understanding that it would only go after Rios Montt and his co-defendant, a general named Rodriguez Sanchez, and that the trial would not touch Perez Molina. He was basically willing to sacrifice Rios Montt. But to everyone's surprise, in the middle of the trial, one witness...